Welcome to another episode of Black Law and Legalize, where we spend most of our time focusing on the legalized. Today, I have with me, to my left,
Anonymous,
and to my right,
Justine.
All right, today's topics are going to cover a wide variety of things. Doesn't that sound good? All right, so up on the list, number one, we're talking about transsexual laws today. Justine?
Okay, so our topic, transgender laws, we're actually talking about making it possible, or how can transgendered people legally change the sex designation or gender designation on official documentation?
Wasn't something recently in the news about some laws on the books with this?
Oh, I forgot to say, I'm Dan on drugs.
Anyway, they actually have several, well, they are trying to go to court, of course, always trying to go to court because we are a litigious society. Mm-hmm. Power to the lawyers. But don't look at me in that tone of voice. Anyway, so there is a lot of controversy in the news. There was something recently, I can't remember what it was, but it's basically because there are about three or four states that actually will not allow a transgendered person to change their gender designation on their birth certificates. So, you know, that's a fight that they're having, and it's working its way up through the court system. So, as I said, what we're doing today is discussing how you can do that and the legalities behind changing your gender designation on official documentation to meet the way you see yourself.
Man, that shit's easy. You just take a Sharpie marker and you mark through the shit. If it says male, you write just an F and an E before it.
Seriously.
That's what I do.
Oh, so see, you ascribe to the
arts and crafts
theory of documentation.
Right. How else you gonna do that? How? All right. Let's say I decided that I want to identify as a woman, right? Now, I go to the DMV. They looking at me. And I'm like, I am a woman. And they like, nigga, please.
Yeah, but the problem is the first step to anything, you know, when you go to the DMV and you're actually trying to get a driver's license or anything, they'll ask you for a birth certificate, social security card. So the very first step would not be going directly to the DMV with your mustache and beard saying, hey, I'm female, change it.
I would.
Of course you would, because you are on drugs. But the legal thing to do would be to get it changed on your birth certificate. Well, that would be the first step that I would say.
Okay.
Change it on your birth certificate. And once you change it on your birth certificate, everything else falls into line.
Wait, so is it federally acceptable to be a transgender?
Yes, like, yes, it is. Absolutely. You can get your gender designation changed on your birth certificate, as I said, in 47 or 46 of these here states. Like, there are three are four that will not allow you to change the gender designation on your
and
birth certificate.
What do you do if you live in those states?
And in those states, you are up shit creek, basically. I'm going to assume that you just have to fight it out, because at this point, it would probably be like an equal protection situation.
Which means?
That everybody should be equally protected under the law. And, you know, there are a lot of anti-discrimination laws on the books. And not allowing a person who is transgender to fix their documentation to meet their gender identity would seem to me to be discriminatory based on sexuality, or discriminatory based on sex.
Or gender.
Right.
Or sexual orientation, maybe.
Wait, so I could put my sexual orientation on my birth certificate?
No. You cannot put, but if you want to,
I think
you want to let the world know that you're into animals, fine.
Man, I'm into all tell kinds them. Of shit.
I know you are.
Okay, so they change their designated
sex. Well, can we, like, take a step back? Because isn't there, like, there's people who are born one gender and then, but they identify as another. And then there's people who are born
hermaphroditic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they have to choose.
Hermaphrodites. Yeah, you know, they can get themselves pregnant. For real. That ain't no bullshit. I saw that shit on the internet.
No, honestly, because most of the time in situations like that, hermaphroditic people, one or the other doesn't really work well. That, I mean, medically.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as hermaphroditic people are concerned, most of the time, parents make the choice before they even have a chance. So you come out with different parts, they look to see which one looks dominant, mm-hmm. and the parents make a decision. So
basically, if they got a little dick, they're going to be like, you're a chick. If they got this huge, gigantic ass vagina, they're going to be like, yeah, you're a chick.
Yeah, that made no sense. But basically, that is most of the time, I'm going to hazard to guess about 90% of the time, parents make the decision whether or not I want you to be a girl or boy. And that's
and then that person can blame their parents
for them being deranged and confused.
Yes.
All right, anyway. So you go down there, you change your sex on your birth certificate.
That's where you would start. That's where you would start. And then, like I said, and it's not that it's simple, but not, because some states only require a notarized letter from your doctor saying that you have completed gender reassignment.
Which means that you have the operation.
Right.
Okay. So wait, so then the actual first step would be to have an operation.
Right.
No. You do not need an operation, do you?
In order to change your birth certificates in most of the states that allow you to do so, you have to have a notarized letter from your doctor stating that you have had this reassignment surgery, or you have to have a court order.
Okay, so you don't need the surgery if you have the court order.
No, the court order basically says something like you've had the surgery. It's based on you having the surgery. Okay. If you don't have the surgery, most states will not allow you to do that.
If you don't have the surgery, you are not considered a transsexual, transgender. What's the difference between transsexual and transgender?
There's really not a distinction. That they both mean basically the same thing as far as I know. Okay. Do you know anything different, Anonymous?
Nope.
Anyway, okay. So name changes. Well, let's go back to, so first step would be to have the surgery.
Have the surgery.
Second step would be to get either a notarized letter or a court order stating that the operation has been completed. Then you walk into your local birth certificate office or records office and say, hey, I need to change my gender on my birth certificate. At the same time, if you're doing all this too, I would get a name change, and most of them do. And I would make that name change legal. So that means court proceeding, filing pleadings. So you can change the name and the gender on your birth certificate. And once you have that, then you change everything else. Now, that's state law. Federally, to change your gender designation with Social Security, all you need is a letter from a doctor who is familiar with you, basically stating that you've done what should be done to help you recognize who you are. Basically, you don't need gender assignment surgery to change your gender designation with Social Security.
Okay, so let's, since we're talking about doctors and whatnot, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so your health insurance premiums that you pay,
mm-hmm.
they are higher than mine, right?
That's correct.
And that is because you are
a childbearing age.
That is right. Mm-hmm. So if you get the surgery, right, and you become a woman, say you're 25, you were born a male, become a woman, Now you're going to get medical insurance. Are you of childbearing age? Does that play a factor into your medical insurance premiums?
It should, because you're going to answer the questions exactly like I answered the question. Mm-hmm. So when they ask whether or not you're male or female, you're going to say female. And so what the insurance company is not going to do is call you up and say, have you had gender reassignment surgery to make you a female?
So there should be some sort of precedent set, though, for that, because they can't have babies, right?
Yeah, I could be transgendered and have a child. So say we've changed our gender designation and we've changed our name on our birth certificate, on our driver's license, on our social security card, our passport.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now Jim has become Janie.
Okay.
Now I'm living the dream. Now I am living as I should have been living, as I feel I am who I felt that I was.
Okay, and you about to get hit with them higher health insurance premiums.
Okay, well, right. You know what? That's cost.
That comes with the territory,
that's the
right?
cost of right. what I want to be.
Okay, so moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Bathrooms. Now, I know some states have different bathroom laws. I know North Carolina was a huge thing as far as their bathroom
that's
laws.
That's been repealed.
Okay, it's been repealed.
And you know why? Because in most states, and I'm sure Anonymous could chime in on this one. In most states, it is illegal for you to tell me that I can't use the restroom connected to the gender that I identify with.
Okay.
And as far as, wait, let me finish. Go as ahead. Far as on the job, and that's what I want Anonymous to talk about.
On the job?
On the job, you have to make accommodations.
True.
For people.
Can this accommodation be a single bathroom?
No, see, and this is where the law is like, gotcha, because say I transition and from male to female and I'm using the female's bathroom. Well, if somebody that is a traditional woman or let's say a woman from birth is uncomfortable with that, you have to have that person use another bathroom. You don't make the transgender person use another bathroom.
That's some bullshit, too.
Yeah, I agree.
That's some bullshit. So, all right, in your professional experience, Anonymous, have you dealt with this situation at any of your workplaces?
No.
No.
And I know you're happy that you have not, because that is, it's a slippery slope.
It
and
is.
It's a sticky situation.
It is.
But this is the thing. If you don't want to be sued on the basis of discrimination.
Oh, yeah. You call in your attorney every second, every time that person walks into your office, because you want to make sure that you don't do anything that they could possibly pounce you on.
And mm-hmm. This is America. We shouldn't be walking around in fear like that.
But it's not about fear.
It is fear.
About, no,
you
it's
scared
about,
you're going to have some kind of legal repercussions.
It's about living in a litigious society.
Let's
and
think
how
about
you
this.
Navigate that society.
Think about this. Let me liken this to colored and white water fountains.
All right. Bathrooms. Technically, they can go to whatever bathroom they damn well feel like it, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's the end of that. Is that in every state?
Yes, pretty much.
All right.
I don't know of any state other than North Carolina that's tried to outlaw it.
Okay. Now, let's say they go to prison.
Just mentioned, we're talking about prison. All right, okay. Let's talk about transgender
people. Here we go. I'm going to just give you an easy one. I'm going to give you an alley-oop here. Let's say a transgender person, male or female, kills somebody, murders somebody, mm-hmm. out of rage, ex or something like that. They kill somebody. Okay. Now they're going to prison, mm-hmm. right? They've been sentenced.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they being sentenced to?
All depends. Because the U.S. Justice Department has actually come out recently with regulation about people who are transgendered being placed in prisons based on their gender identities. So even though, like, legally, they should not be placed in a jail based just on their genitalia and what is on their birth certificate. Practically, if they are transgendered male to female, they'd probably be going to a male jail. If they're transgendered female to male, they'd probably be going to a female jail. But, I mean, as far as federal law is concerned, federal law would basically make that the way that they do it, the very way that they would put them in there based on their biological gender.
So
illegal.
Wait, that's illegal?
Right. They can't do, federal guidelines basically state that states should not place anybody, criminals, in a facility based solely on their genitalia or their biological gender.
Based solely on. So what else are we basing it on?
Their gender identification.
Okay.
So it's like, and as I said, there's all these rules that say if you would feel more comfortable in a female jail, they have to consider that.
But why give them a choice? They're the ones that did the, you know, they did the crime. They got to do the time.
Guess what? Prisoners have more rights than most of us do.
Now, I've been a prisoner, and I can tell you that, sure, on paper, that sounds lovely. Prisoners have more rights than that is a crock of bullshit. I have been behind them walls, and I can tell you that all of our rights are stripped away from us. And as soon as you try to enact any of your rights, you're going to get your worse. Ass whooped right. by some CEOs.
And that's and exactly actually, why.
One of the CEOs that whooped my ass when I was in prison, we're going to have her on the show. but you get your ass whooped, you get thrown in a hole, you get targeted. And
right, and that's exactly what these federal laws and these guidelines are put out there. That's what they're propagated to do, to stop stuff like that. Even though we know in reality, practicality, they are in there. Some of them, because they don't know what to do with people who are transgendered in jail, they put them in ADSEC. And, you know, that's 23 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And can you elaborate what ADSEG is for the people that...
Segregation.
That administrative segregation.
Oh.
That is where, let's see, I had one of my boys, I don't know if I can... Can I say his name on here?
No.
Okay, let's just call him...
Jerry.
Nah, I was going to say more like a nigga that killed somebody.
Oh, okay.
And he had actually killed somebody prior to going to jail. He killed somebody in jail. And they said, you, my friend, cannot be around other people. So they put you in a room for 23 hours a day, sometimes 24, depending.
Right.
You might get an hour out on the yard by yourself to walk around, do some exercises.
Dude, I thought it was an hour to do everything, like eat, take a shower, get some exercise. You got an hour, period.
They feed you through the door. So pretty much they bring your food to you, slide it through the little slot. And that's if you got a cool CO. If you got a CO that ain't cool, your food, they're going to slide it through the door,
but it ain't going to
be
on
the tray. You're going to be eating off the floor like a dog. Mind you, you got to piss and shit into the floor, too. So that's a nasty experience. I haven't had to deal with that. All right.
Anyway.
So, far as the transgenders go, what age can you be recognized as a transgender?
Whatever age you choose.
So if my 6-year-old daughter decides...
She wants to be a boy, right?
So she can go into the bathroom. So at school, whatever grade you are, first grade, second grade.
He's a boy. They have cases.
She can go into the boys' bathroom.
They have cases upon cases upon cases where people have sued school boards for just that thing. Because they refused to allow these transgender children to go into the bathroom of their gender identity.
Anonymous?
I agree with Anne. There's even TV shows about being a transgendered child and being a parent in that family trying to raise a transgender child.
Do you agree with your 6-year-old daughter using the boys' bathroom with other boys?
Not a daughter. It's your son.
It would be very, very difficult to make that decision or to side with
why would it be? Are you scared? All right. Would you be more afraid of people persecuting you and your child, or would you be more afraid of your child actually going to use that bathroom?
I think more so the persecution more than anything. I mean, a bathroom is a bathroom. You got to go. Everybody has to go.
I've used women's bathrooms before.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you're transgender?
I might be. I plead the fifth.
You know, I'm just saying.
All right. So, I think there should be some sort of an age, though. I think...
Why?
Like, because
children don't understand. Like, another little boy that's 6 years old, he's not going to understand. They don't have any concept of what a transgender is.
You know what?
What?
Kids are very smart.
Absolutely.
They are, but they don't.
They will ask questions.
Kids will be mean. Kids are fucking mean.
And so are adults. The thing is this. Here's the issue as far as I'm concerned. Children don't know, as children, what's a boy thing and what's a girl thing until we show them, until we teach them. That's not something that they come out the womb saying, oh, I'm a girl or I'm a boy. We teach that.
All right. So at seven years old.
So basically you're saying that's nurture versus nature.
Exactly. We teach that. We teach a child. That's just like, you can't play with Barbie dolls if you're a boy. And you can't play with mattress. It's the same concept. We teach gender identity.
Let me throw this into the concept.
Teach that.
Would you, if you had a seven-year-old child, would you trust your child with the household finances?
That's a totally different situation.
It's not. Because they have no concept of gender identity.
Why don't they? That's what I'm saying.
Well, then why don't they have concept of money, paying bills?
Because guess what? You give a child a $100 bill, they will know it's a $100 bill, but they will not understand what that $100 bill. But if your child tells you, I feel like I'm a boy, let them explore that. If they say, I feel like I'm a girl, let them explore that. But it's
because
over time, it may snap, oh, no, I'm really a girl.
It doesn't matter. I'm not even thinking about my child. What I'm thinking about is the other children. They don't understand that.
Children are very flexible.
They are, but they do not understand.
Children's minds...
They do
are
not.
Very flexible, and
so
they
should be able to handle household finances.
Nope. It's apples
so they're
and
not
oranges.
That flexible, but
apples
they're flexible
and, apples
enough.
And oranges.
We had this kid in kindergarten, right? Kid that had some sort of ailment, right? They called a whole meeting of the entire school, excluded this little girl, and they told us there is a little girl who has a boy's haircut. She looks like a boy, but she's not a boy. She's a girl. And we're going to suspend you if you make fun of her. We would have made fun of her regardless, one.
But do you know what they just did by doing that? You know if they do that today? You know if that happened today, what would happen?
No.
To that school district?
Tell me.
They would be sued.
Alexandria City Public Schools.
they would be sued. The parents could sue them for what they did.
But it wasn't a gender thing.
Even you singled that child out.
Well, we still made fun of her too.
Like I'm saying, regardless, what you just did, because maybe some of the kids would not have even noticed it, but you just shined a spotlight.
Nah, bro, we all and what's fucked up though is as she comes walking down the hallway. We sitting here talking, laughing, joking, slamming each other up against lock. And it's like everything comes to a standstill and you're looking at each other like.
Absolutely right.
You are afraid to say
that
or do anything.
And that's exactly why her parents could have sued the school. I mean, that was ridiculous what the principal or whomever. Administration just was stupid. They dropped the ball on that one.
This was in the 80s, though. Okay, so we're off the transgenders for now. I'm sure we'll revisit the subject again. But
right, because there's so much more conversation to be had.
There is, and I do want to say that I'm not against transgenders.
He's just against everybody else.
No, I advocate for them, and I do believe that they have the right to identify as who they want to identify as. They do have the right to become who they... I ain't got nothing wrong with Caitlyn Jenner. Look at that. I ain't say Bruce. But look, man, not everyone's going to be comfortable with who you are.
That's their problem.
All
That's
I'm
not
saying,
the transgender person's
all
problem.
All I'm saying is that not everyone is comfortable. I'm not saying.
Guess what? We live.
I'm not
in,
trying to make a point out of that.
No, I'm just saying. We're living in a world where nobody is comfortable with anything. I'm not comfortable with Donald Trump.
I'm comfortable with him.
Of course you are, because you are him.
I'm
reborn
with him.
I think anybody on drugs would be comfortable with
absolutely.
Him.
No, actually, drugs makes you analyze shit. And, you know, you sit back and you look at stuff. And you know what? That's another episode. All right. So moving on to same-sex marriage. We're going to touch on this real quick since we're talking about transgenders and their rights.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about, I guess, the church and the state. Separation of church and state.
Okay.
Let's talk about that.
Man, look, you know what? So dumb. Mm-hmm. Why? Okay, we're going to talk about same-sex marriages, which is now, as of 2015, the law of the land. So a male-male, female-female, married couple has the exact same rights as a mixed, a male-female married couple.
A heterosexual couple versus a homosexual couple.
I don't believe that. I think I can point out a few things where their rights aren't equal.
Actually, the law of the land, and this is where we go back to legally what their rights are and practically what their rights are, because legally they cannot be discriminated against.
Okay.
The law allows them equal protection under it.
Okay.
Now the problem is since 2015 most states have not updated anything legislatively so that they would be in compliance with federal law. So basically you have a situation where let me see, you said you can point out some places where they don't have the same rights.
Okay. One of the places where they don't have the same rights is when it comes to parental rights.
They do. It's just at this point, the administration of it. For instance, in a situation where you have a female, well, a homosexual couple, regardless, but I'm going to use female.
No homo.
Shut up. I'm going to use females because this makes the matter stickier. So you have a female couple that decide they want to have children. And one of the women is actually the birth mother.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
All right.
So then.
So wait, where did the baby come from, though? The
sperm
father.
Donor.
Okay. Was it one of these underground rings?
Man, look, that's a total another. Right, man, right, we shelved right. That. That's a total other situation.
She
anyway,
had
so
the baby.
Artificial insemination. She has the baby. All right. So 5 years down the line, of a mother decides, I need a divorce.
Bitch, I'm stepping.
Right.
So
anyway,
they get divorced.
They are in the process of getting divorced. So if we had a heterosexual couple, baby was born in the marriage, husband, custody rights, visitation, support, okay, for these kids, all things that they will fight about. Well, in this particular case, and that there's a case in particular that I am speaking about, I think the case was in either Arizona or Arkansas, one of those A states. Mm-hmm. But
no, in Alabama or Alaska.
Yeah, one of those. But I think it's Arizona, I think it is, mm-hmm. actually. But anyway, the couple were married. One had the child. They actually were in the midst of getting divorced. The non-birth mother
mm-hmm.
wanted visitation and custody.
Mm-hmm.
Court said, give them visitation and custody. Birth mom said, oh, hell no. This ain't her child.
So wouldn't this go back to, I guess this brings up another question about the birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
So on the birth certificate, doesn't it have a place that says parents or mother and father?
Right.
And, you know, how is that determined when you're having children?
That is
and you're a homosexual couple.
And mm-hmm. that's another thing. That is a case that was recently decided in another state because they refused to put the non-birth mother on the birth certificate as a parent. Because as you said, see, this is why I said, even though the law of the land is equal protection, legally, practically, it has not caught up because most states on birth certificate, it says mother's name, father's name.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say
nope.
parents' name,
in my,
parents' name.
In my state, it just said my mother's name.
No, it has a space where father's just missing. It's man, just look, missing.
Look, if anybody seen that nigga, let me know. I'm a blacklawpodcast@gmail.com.
It's
holla
just,
at your boy if y'all seen my daddy.
It's just missing. And I'm sure it's missing because your daddy said, oh, hell no.
Man, I don't think I've ever... I've seen him once or twice.
So, yeah. But no, and that's the practical matters involved in this. Because, as I said, most birth certificates, well, all birth certificates say mother's name, father's name.
Mm-hmm.
And laws, even in the state of Louisiana, you know, you have laws that say that children born of the marriage are presumed to be the children of the husband.
All right, hold mm-hmm. up, hold up. Let me stop you there. All right, so... If Anonymous was to go out and
hey, wait, have that's a man. Fling. I thought we were shelving that situation.
Man, you since you brought it up, you just said it's a child is a product of the marriage. So
I'm saying, and that was all. That's my segue into this whole female situation.
We can bounce back. Look, all right, man, we all over the place.
We are all over the place. Jesus.
I just want a quick little sidebar here.
Okay,
if Anonymous goes out and has a fling with Usher and ends up getting knocked up, right?
And herpes.
And she comes home with herpes and a baby, right?
Y'all are married?
That baby is technically my baby because.
Legally, not technically, okay, legally.
Legally, my baby because that baby is a product of the marriage.
Absolutely.
So once I find out that Anonymous has become impregnated by Usher with herpes, we're going to get paid. But
wait, hold up. Watch this.
I can disavow that child, right?
You can disavow, but you know, there are laws on the books about dual paternity. And that is a thing. Like biological dad and legal dad would wind up paying support for this child.
Unless I disavow that child.
Unless you disavow within a certain period of time.
Within a year of knowing that that's not my child.
It is within a year of you knowing or should have known.
Like, how should you have known? It's like, man, all right, whatever.
So
wait.
So if you knew that Anonymous was a garden tool, otherwise known as a HOE.
Mm-hmm. Jane Hope.
Yeah. So if you knew that she was and she was prone to sleep around and you've caught her before and then she pops up pregnant. And so then it's like, oh, yeah, it's my baby.
Man, nah, see, and this is what would happen is if I expressed some concern, maybe that the child wasn't mine. Nigga, you the only one I'm sleeping with. Man, nah, see, you a sorry nigga. You a sorry nigga. And then call,
Jerry Springer, no.
He said it ain't his baby. You know what? Fuck this nigga. I'm going to take him to court for child support.
No, take it to Jerry Springer. Mm-hmm. Because man. Guess what? You are. The father. Oh, no, that's not Jerry Springer.
That's who's Mari.
Markovich. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, anyway, back to the woman-on-woman sex. I like that.
Of course you do. I'm sure that's what shows up in your porn search all the time.
That and Rusty Trombone.
Oh, jeez.
Have you ever heard of that, Anonymous?
No.
Okay. We'll talk about it later.
Okay. Anyway, so, and as I was saying, in this particular case, in this particular case, court said, yes, non-birth mother gets visitation.
Mm-hmm.
So birth mother says, no way. This is my child. So she has appealed this. Problem is they still have not decided this case because the court is trying to figure out how to decide the case.
Mm-hmm.
Because Arizona does not have laws that deal with artificial insemination. So they can't figure it out that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the presumptive father rule, that whole if it's born in the marriage
mm-hmm.
or
if it's a product of the marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
That says husband.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
So it's like you have to change this word. And if you change the word, the law makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
So and then the court can't change the word. So then, you know, that's a legislative thing. Court can't step all over that, even though. A lot of courts step all over it anyway, but that's another thing. But
would you, in saying that too, would you concur that most laws are written to be open to interpretation?
No, but I wouldn't think that most laws on their face say what they say, but the court, because of lawyers and judges
and beliefs,
because of lawyers and judges, laws are open to interpretation. Because I can make the law say what I want it to say. And this is why we have all these different states and all of these different scenarios of the law and this case law that says some say one thing, some say the other thing, and it's all the same law because, yes. It's
being interpreted.
Yes.
All right. So to wrap up the two women banging.
Really?
Yeah. We need the law to, we need a word in the law. No, the law would actually have to be rewritten.
And see, that's the thing. That's why I said it's legislative.
Who rewrites that law?
Okay. It's legislative. So what would happen is, every state in the nation, their legislatures would have to go in and everything that has to do with marriage and children, they would have to recraft it to fit same-sex couples.
Now, does that get tricky for heterosexual couples? Because would anything change on their part?
No, because if you're going to find a word that can be used, and I don't even know if spouse, you know, simply saying spouse would work. You know, any child born in the marriage is considered the child of the spouse.
I guess that could work, but
I mean, we're stopping it.
Man.
But like I said,
is there such thing as common law marriage in some states?
There is.
Okay. Does that make you a spouse?
Yes.
Okay.
It makes you a husband or a wife or a spouse.
Okay. Just checking. So they'd be covered too. All right. So I think that's enough about transgenders and homosexuals.
Wait, I just want to throw one thing in there if I can. Since you always call in audibles and sidebars.
I throw shit out there all the time.
I want to throw some shit out. And it's about same sex, since we're on this same topic. Something that I find very interesting that is going to be decided in October by the Supreme Court. I'm all tingly. No, I'm not. Anyway.
Wait, the Supreme Court makes you tingly? Those old 90-year-old men?
And women.
Tingly. And woman.
And women.
And woman.
No. Women.
There's what, two women?
Women.
No, Ruth, what's her name?
Ginsburg.
Yeah.
And the Sotomayor.
She don't count.
What? She Asian. You like Asians.
She ain't Asian. She Hispanic.
She is Hispanic.
Yeah.
But she,
get your mind right.
She ain't black.
Get your mind right.
So you like it.
Get your mind anyway, right. Anyway. Okay. So they're deciding this in October.
So they are deciding this.
What are they deciding?
The cake case.
The cake case. Cake.
We like cake. We like cake. Anyway,
okay.
So same-sex couple in Colorado, living in Colorado, getting married, right?
All
right. They are getting married like in California or something.
Why aren't they getting married in Colorado?
I have no clue.
I mean, they might have people
in California might think California look better than Colorado. I don't know. Anyway, getting married in California, living in Colorado, plan on having a reception in Colorado, wanted a cake.
Weed.
So they walk into this cake shop and they say, hey, make us a cake. And the dude that owned the cake shop
said, let me tell you what he said. He said, I don't want no man with a penis in the bathroom with my 6-year-old daughter, motherfucker. So he turned him away.
He said, hell no. And he said the reason why he did it, though, is because he religiously objected to them being married.
I think that's his right, though.
Yeah, not according to the state of Colorado. Because, see, now, here's the crazy thing. And just mark my words, the law is going to be shifting all over this particular topic. There's no federal law that says that a business that's open to the public can't discriminate based on sexual orientation.
Now, I just actually ran into something similar to this. Trying to remember so I could put it into context. But anyway.
But there are state laws that actually provide for that.
Somebody was turned away. The neo-Nazi group, their website was shut down, basically, by the web host. They said, we are not hosting your website. So now there's this huge freedom outrage, censorship, this, that, and the other. Now, as a web host myself, I said that I would do the same thing. I will not host your website.
What's your justification?
I equate it to this. One is it's a business decision. Two is if ISIS came to me and said, we would like you to host our website.
You know how many videos ISIS have out there?
I'm just saying. If they came to me and said, we want you, we're going to pay
ISIS
you.
ISIS have YouTube videos.
We will pay you to host our website. I'm turning their business away. No, I don't want your business. So how's this any different?
Because freedom of speech is protected.
It is, but I don't have to allow you to use your freedom of speech on my platform.
Yeah, you do. If it's a public platform.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I do not.
Yes, you do. Is it a public platform? Is this a public platform?
It's no different than a cake store. I have products. I sell them to people.
No. Freedom of speech is different because freedom of speech is protected by the Constitution.
It is.
As I was saying before you so rudely interrupted me, bastard.
I'll do it again.
Of course you will. There is no federal law that says, and I quote, that businesses are required to serve all customers without regard to their sexual orientation. There's no federal law that says that. Now, the issue is, even though there's no federal law, most states have what they call public accommodation laws. And they in turn say that if you're a business open to the public, you have to give same-sex couples, homosexual couples, the same service as you would someone else. So Colorado happens to be one of those states. So what this couple did was they lodged a complaint with the State Civil Rights Commission. And the State Civil Rights Commission said, you're right. He should make you this cake.
Bullshit.
And exactly what he said.
But see, the other part that I think we might be forgetting or may have overlooked is the business owners, didn't he deny to serve them because of his religious
exactly.
Beliefs? That's one of the Bill of Rights.
Even though I'm on drugs, I want to take this back to like 1966-ish. This great, great, great hero by the name of Muhammad Ali. He did not go to fight in Vietnam because of his
conscientious objective.
Yes, his religious beliefs.
And that's
so
exactly
how
right.
would this okay, so, be different?
So this is where I was trying to get to. And that is the reason why he said he would not do it because his religious beliefs would not allow him to do so, that he did not believe in homosexuality. He did not believe in two men marrying each other. So he said, screw you, I ain't doing it. And he appealed to the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court, as I said, they're taking this thing up, and it makes me tingle because it's such a hot topic because it pits religious liberty versus what some would call, you know, their civil right. So what the court has to decide is, because if the court says, yes, you can do that to the cake owner, to the shop owner, do you know what kind of can of worms that starts opening up?
Yeah.
Do you know how, if the court says that, then I can object to serving you because you being black.
People still do that anyway.
Yeah, they do.
But they can say it's because my religion says that black people are
all right,
evil.
How versed in what religion is he claiming to be? I'm gonna assume Christian.
They don't say.
I'm gonna assume Christian, Colorado, Middle America. I'm gonna assume Christian. Where in the Christian Bible does it say that homosexual marriage is against what Christianity stands for?
Shall I flip through some Bible?
I mean, the only one I know is man shall not lay with man as with woman, as he does with a woman.
Okay, that's so what does that mean?
That is actually something like these laws, and it can be open to interpretation.
Okay, so what's your interpretation?
It depends on the situation. Like, man shall not lay with man as he does with a woman.
Okay.
So that that doesn't mean I can't bend you over and bang you. It just means I can't lay down in the bed with you.
Then you have to realize what the word lay in Bible means. It's not interpretation. The word is the word.
When you get to know somebody, that could be hello, my name is, or it can be again bending some dude over.
Because lay in the Bible, the word as translated means sexual. Any compendium you look at.
I don't even know what that word means.
Anything that you look at that will explain the Bible to you.
That is where you're wrong, because the uberglastics.
You know what?
So you want to throw out big words and shit. The uberglastics.
You just making up a word. Anyway, so this is the thing. It basically pits religious liberty against my right.
Your so-called civil rights.
My right. So, like I said, it's very interesting to me, because you said, no, he can do what he wants.
I think so.
But this is the argument that he makes. He says that he is so religious that he doesn't do Halloween cakes because he believes that Halloween is a
devil's holiday.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't do Halloween cakes. He doesn't do any risque cakes. So he's not doing tits and balls.
I rock with this dude.
So he says that is all those different things. He will not make a cake that says something defamatory against the United States. Like anything that goes against God and family, he's not doing it.
I guess my
modern day Muhammad Ali.
My question here is, was this couple just trying to start some stuff? Because I'm sure that there are other bakeries that would accommodate them.
Well, see, and that's the thing. It's like Rosa Parks.
Before we jump on, because you know Rosa
there
Parks,
were other buses that Rosa Parks could have got on.
Have you ever been discriminated against by a business or at a business?
Absolutely.
Would you return to that business to spend your money?
Absolutely not, but I'm a different type of broad.
I think most people are like that. I can't prove it, but I felt like I've been discriminated against.
Not if you're trying to prove a point. And what they're doing is trying to prove a point. And the point that they're trying to prove is in 2017, this actually happened in 2012, prior to same-sex marriages becoming the law of the land. This happened then. And so fast forward, basically, like I said, they're trying to prove a point. And I'm going to liken this, and some people might not like it, to the whole Rosa Parks thing.
But bringing up Rosa Parks, that wasn't her just deciding, oh, I ain't going to get up. That was a planned, strategic...
It was a farce.
Here you go.
Nope, because Rosa Parks wasn't even the one that did it. It wasn't Rosa Parks. I watched Drunk History. Man, you kicked that mic stand one more damn time, man.
I didn't.
You're going to be on the back. I just heard it in my ear.
Shut up. That's the one time.
You done hit mine like four times.
Shut up.
All right. So anyway, some other chick actually did it, and Rosa Parks took credit for it. I can attest to that. It was a young chick. And I think Rosa Parks, because of her standing in the community, was a better person to use. So she did not actually.
What a conspiracy theories.
This was on the History Channel.
Wow.
This was on the History Channel. Mm-hmm. Now I might be
fake news.
I might be getting some facts wrong. There was some aliens and shit there. All right, so let's wrap this episode up here with a couple of questions from random people on social media. All right, so ask an attorney real quickly if we can go over pets.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this lady says, can I say their names? I can say their names.
No.
Okay. I was walking my dog on leash in a public park where another lady walking her dog off leash came over and tried to introduce her dog to mine without asking if it were okay. The dogs got into a fight. My dog reacted to her dog trying to sniff, and my dog bit first. The other lady's dog needed 14 stitches, and now she wants me to cover the vet bills, and I don't think that I should since her dog was off leash. Am I right by not paying for the other dog's vet bills?
Basically, all depends on the law in your state. You know, in the state of Louisiana, we have something called comparative negligence. So if you can prove how much at fault, how negligent you were. So if they can say that maybe the dog that got hurt, their owners was 75% at fault, and the dog that bit the other dog was 25%, then...
How can that dog be at fault at all, though, if she was minding her business and a dog off leash came running up to it?
Okay, so you could pick your dog up and leave?
Okay.
You can...
Let's say it was a Rottweiler.
I don't know what it
or
is.
Or a 60-pound dog.
See, that's the thing. Now we just throwing in facts that's not in evidence. We don't know what it is, but I'm just saying this. It all depends on, because her lack of not leashing her dog.
I think one, that puts her at fault.
One, well, one, she did something criminal. And two, she did something negligent. But like I said, if it's a comparative fault state, if I'm the lawyer for the dog, for the owner of the dog that got hurt, I start saying, trying to throw shade on the other person.
But
trying to get something.
That doesn't change the fact that I'm minding my business, walking my dog. And I think all dog owners know, as a courtesy, you ask if it's okay to introduce your dog to the next dog, because it could be a vicious dog.
What if the dog was on a leash and jerked out of the hand?
It wasn't.
And she was run. I'm just saying that scenario.
I'm going to say if the dog jerked out of the hand, it's still that owner's fault for not securing your pet.
Okay, but you had your dog on the leash.
Okay, your dog jerked out of your hand. That's your fault.
That ever happened to you?
Yes.
Okay.
That if my dog would have attacked somebody or something, that's my fault.
And I see, that's a different scenario.
I take full responsibility for what my dog does when
never
it is
happened.
Off its leash.
You take full responsibility for nothing.
I would.
But anyway, so that's a difficult question for me to answer because I don't have enough facts. But I would say it would all depend.
Typical lawyer answer.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Contracts. Just because, okay, and this is a dude. Contracts. Just because something is in a contract, does that make it binding no matter what? We were at an ATV park where you rent ATVs by the hour. We had to sign something called a waiver of liability before being allowed to rent and ride. Mm-hmm. Nothing happened to us or our ATVs, but what if something did happen that was a result of the ATV park's negligence? Something like not performing maintenance on the ATV and it falls apart, or injuring or killing somebody, or would they be able to say, "Excuse me, sir, you signed the waiver of liability before you used our ATV course. You are not allowed to sue us for damages incurred as a result of you driving over that pile of C4 explosives we left sitting around."
C4 explosives. Once again, in this particular case, anything that you've done deliberately, like if you did not maintain your vehicles, like you put yourself out there as an RV or an ATV park, along with that comes the responsibility to make sure that these ATVs are maintained so that people don't get hurt by a wheel that flies off. So you've put yourself out there. Yes, you've actually signed a waiver of liability, but most waiver liabilities, that's for other people that's in the park. Like you get hurt riding the ATV and I bump into her and she falls off and gets hurt. That's a scenario where that waiver would actually, the ATV part, you could still sue them, but they'd be like, okay, it's not us. It's this person who hit you and you signed a waiver of liability. Mm-hmm. We're not at fault. But in an instance where you did not maintain your equipment, now you're negligent. And so your negligence causes my injury that I can't waive away deliberate acts.
So the C4 laying around in the middle of the park, I hit it and I explode, and my family, my estate, sues the park.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the park because that was called gross negligence. So,
oh, it's gross?
Gross negligence.
Ew.
So anyway, I would like to say not all contracts are set in stone, and they are not completely unbreakable, nor do they completely protect you. Y'all hear that?
I would like to say that you can sue anybody for anything. Damn a contract.
That's what I said that too in my last apartment. Talking about you got to pay us rent. No, I don't. Shit. All right, so that wraps up this episode of Black Law and Legalize, where we focus more on the legalize.
Right, don't believe anything that dude says. You're right.
Man, no, I'm going to tell you one thing, though, for real. I rocks with homosexuals and I rocks with transgenders. I just don't understand y'all, but you know what? We all the same. We all brothers and sisters.
We all bleed red.
We all, I don't know.
You really, what, you know. Bleed blue?
Man, I don't know. Let's we all say, brothers and sisters.
Let's just say we all bleed, all right?
Man.
This is Anonymous signing off.
Peace.
And, of course, I'm Dan on drugs. And the reason we have to end this episode is my drugs are wearing off. So, if y'all have any questions or would like to ask an attorney, you can hit us up at blacklawpodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at Black Law Podcast, or you can hit my personal cell phone if you are a bright yellow, under 150 pounds, maybe 5'6" or under. Oh, shit. Is she looking at me? Is she looking at me?
Yes.
Okay. Just scratch that from the record. Peace out.